coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of studies on the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. This is the last study on 2 Thessalonians. Two themes dealt with before reappear in the text that we will consider, namely prayer and work. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, we read as follows. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. Since he could not be present in person at the same time at different places where he had been working, one thing he could do, and he did, was praying constantly for the churches. The Apostle also encouraged repeatedly believers to pray for him, and particularly for the advance of the gospel. Now he asks the Thessalonians, "Brothers, pray for us." Paul specifically mentions what the Thessalonians should pray for. They should pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. This is a missionary prayer. The gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be spread. It needs to reach the ears of people so that the Holy Spirit can work repentance and faith by means of the gospel. For faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The Thessalonians came to faith in Jesus because the message of the Lord had been preached to them. The same result could be obtained if others heard the message too. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus emphatically includes the preaching of the gospel. The first three petitions contain missionary aspects. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we ask that God's word be taught in its truth and purity. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we ask that our Heavenly Father may give his Holy Spirit so that people believe his word and lead godly lives. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we ask that God may break and destroy every evil plan and purpose of the devil and the world, so that the gospel may reach many people, come to faith, and be saved. This petition of the Lord's Prayer is very much in line with what Paul asks the Thessalonians to pray for. He says, "And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith." The advance of the gospel encounters opposition, sometimes very fierce opposition in the form of persecution. The devil raises barriers to the gospel. Wicked men who have no faith in Jesus oppose the gospel in the same manner. In this respect, the Apostle Paul spoke from experience. In our days, there are many Christians in the world who sadly know what it means to be persecuted and how wicked men try to hinder the spreading of the gospel. In so many other countries, opposition to the gospel comes by means of indifference, of turning deaf ears to the message of the Lord, of labeling the gospel as out of date and irrelevant that only fool people still advocate. You see, Paul's prayer requests for the rapid spread of the word of the Lord and for deliverance from wicked men should impact and encourage us, and we shall include these petitions in our prayers. Pray that the Lord may open doors to the gospel. Pray that the Lord may call, prepare, and send out messengers of the gospel. Pray that the Lord may hinder and destroy opposition, so that by hearing the gospel many people may come to know and believe in Jesus Christ. Can we be sure that God answers prayers? Yes, absolutely. Paul reminds us, the Lord is faithful. He teaches us to pray and promises to answer our prayers. The whole history of the world is a testimony to God's faithfulness. The promises He made, He also fulfilled, particularly the promises concerning the coming and the work of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Paul also assured the Thessalonians, saying, "The Lord will establish you and guard you against the evil one." Who is the evil one? He is the devil, or Satan. His interest and purpose is to tear believers from Christ, to undermine their faith, to lead them astray. However, we can trust that the Lord will give us the strength to fight the evil one and will protect us from his assaults. Paul had given several instructions to the Thessalonians. Now he expresses his confidence that they were doing and would continue to do the things that they had commanded. God uses his messengers to teach, to encourage, and to guide Christians in the life of faith. So Christians should gladly hear and follow the instructions given by faithful ministers as God's instruments for their eternal well-being. Finally, Paul prays for the Thessalonians that the Lord would direct their hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. We also need to have God's love rooted in our hearts. We also need steadfastness in Christ. May the Lord grant them to us. In the sequence of his letter, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, 'If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat.'" Idleness was an issue of concern among the Thessalonians. Paul had dealt with the problem earlier in the first letter sent to the Thessalonians, but apparently the issue worsened and continued to cause trouble. The apostle takes it seriously and gives more attention to it. Paul and Silvanus used the authority given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ to address the problem, saying, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is a very powerful statement. It is as if Christ in person is speaking. The Thessalonian believers are commanded to keep away from other idle believers who were not following the teachings given to them before. To keep away doesn't mean to cut off any relationship. It means refusing to imitate these people in their idleness and showing them that they are wrong. They are still brothers who need to be respected and loved. Neglecting daily responsibilities and common tasks is sin. This requires correction. We don't know for sure why idleness became such a problem in Thessalonica. It could be that the Thessalonians anticipated that the end of the world was imminent, or perhaps they were simply lazy and arrogant. Paul calls on his hearers to imitate him because he imitated Jesus. Paul reminds the Thessalonians that when Silvanus, Timothy, and he were with them, they were not idle, disorderly, or undisciplined, but they worked night and day. Since they preached the gospel to the Thessalonians and worked for their benefit, they had the right to expect payment. After all, the Lord commanded that those who proclaimed the gospel should get their living by the gospel. However, they did not ask any reward in order not to be a burden to anyone and to set an example for the Thessalonians to imitate. Today, there are many faithful ministers of Christ who walk in the footsteps of Paul and his companions. Although they have the right to receive certain benefits, they don't insist on them. For the sake of the gospel and the salvation of people, ministers make personal sacrifices and work day and night to avoid becoming a burden to others and to be examples to them. Paul kindly reminds the Thessalonians what he had taught them before. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. This is the golden rule for making a living. God provides for our physical needs through work. As long as our health permits, and as long as we have opportunity, we shall make a living from honest and diligent work. Paul continues his admonition writing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person, and having nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. News from Thessalonica reached Paul that some among them were idle. Paul does not spare words to reproach them, saying that they are not busy at work. They are busybodies. To be a busybody is worse than being idle. A busybody sticks the nose in other people's affairs, a problem to which idleness often leads. One of the developments of this problem is gossip. With Christ's authority, Paul commands the busybodies to earn the bread they eat through work. In the Thessalonians in general, Paul advises to be tireless in doing good. Paul insists strongly that the instructions he is giving in the letter should be obeyed. Should anybody refuse to obey and continue idle, then the other believers should have nothing to do with him. The idea is to withdraw from close fellowship so that the person might realize the seriousness of his fault and turn back to a right attitude, to repent, and to be restored to the company of the brothers. Sometimes it is necessary, and indeed a gesture of love, for one believer to show the sin in which another brother is living, in order to shame that person into seeing the harmful evil of his or her attitudes or action. The aim shall be producing repentance. Paul is very tactful and expresses his pastoral concern, advising the Thessalonians not to regard the person living in sin an enemy, but to warn him as a brother. This attitude of love we shall always maintain towards any brother who falls in sin. The aim must always be to restore to faith in Christ and to a godly life. Now we come to the concluding words of Paul in this letter. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 16 to 18, Paul expresses his final greetings in the following words. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul wishes that the Lord of peace may grant peace at all times and in every way. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. By his sacrificial death on the cross and his victorious resurrection, Jesus reconciled sinners to God and made peace between them. This peace Jesus grants to us by faith. Every time we listen and reflect on the gospel message, Jesus grants us his peace. And then we can share this peace with all people who live with us and around us. The Lord be with you all, Paul prays. This is a confident prayer that the Lord is indeed with all believers and will continue to be so. This is an appropriate blessing for us to use in our relationship with people. Instead of wishing good luck or just saying goodbye, it is much more appropriate and significant to say, "The Lord be with you." Paul normally dictated his letters, but toward the end he added something in his own handwriting. Here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that this practice was his distinguishing mark. He wrote the conclusion, "For he knew that he had been wrongly cited by people who spread false teaching." His greeting was a guarantee that the letter really came from him. We conclude this series of studies on 2 Thessalonians with the words of Paul. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.